Hello and good evening and welcome to the latest episode of the Overseas Connection podcast, the official podcast of gaming for the elderly. That's g4te.com for April 2nd, 2016. I am your host in Ballymena, Northern Ireland, Robin Tate, Bongo the Sane, at Bongo the Sane, just about everywhere in the world. And tonight we will be talking to an out-of-work contortionist who says he can no longer make ends meet. R.I.P. Ronnie Corbett. What a sad passing. Anyway, apart from all that, it's been a fabulous, fabulous week. We have had Easter, we have had April Fools and chocolate eggs. If you haven't checked out the BMW April Fool for X-Drive baby boots, which promise stability control, please check it out. And of course, the fantastic Google bike that rides itself, the Google Drive bike, which is just absolutely brilliant. And of course, they did make a bit of a mess in the last week, adding a button to their email client, data minion to it. And a lot of people say they lost their jobs and stuff like that there for sending dodgy emails. Anyway, we have a fantastic cast tonight. We have something old, something borrowed, and something half naked. And the hottest thing that had come out of America in such a long time is Nicole.
Hi, now Nicole. I know you're lying.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm absolutely spot on. Thank you. Have you had a decent enough week or so? You've stayed away from the allergy?
So far I have. We had tornadoes the other day. Stayed away from that too. Yeah. It was 6 miles down the road. So you know, I love my tornadoes.
I've seen stuff that you were posting on Facebook and Twitter that I've seen the, like the old 70s stuff where tornado warnings come up onto the TV.
And this that's 1970s.
I know. Yeah, so this came up on Netflix now. It interrupted your Netflix program that there's a tornado coming by.
It totally stopped Netflix and did that scroll, that little weather scroll across the screen.
That's cool.
It was
kind of cool. Because it can't go to everybody. It's just pinning you down by IP somehow or location, that's why.
I'm guessing. Well, it was neat, though, because I got tired of watching all the weather, so I put on Netflix, and it actually stopped it and said that the tornado watch was now a warning and that one had been spotted nearby.
Storm Katie came past here over the last few days there this week, and it blew over one of our seats in the garden. And that was bad, yeah. One of the little plastic seat blew over. Yeah, it was terrible.
Oh, plastic seat.
And our other gentleman friend here tonight is Richard Webster, Big Bad Daddy. How are you, sir? You're running the decks for us tonight.
I am. I feel like one of those hackers in the movies where they've just got like a million screens. We've got like lots of screens going on.
How many screens do you have going on?
I've got three going on at the minute.
So what is like RedTube, Pornhub, and us as well?
Yeah. So one monitor is just purely RedTube, full screen. It's pretty interesting. It's like a love story. A downtown girl, you know, and two blokes, you know, that she just meets. It's a love story, really. So, yeah, I've got that going on. Do you know what? I've been farming a lot, actually, you know, Bongo. I've been doing a lot of farming.
Farming what? What sort of farming? Like
summer crops, you know, melons and such.
I like a good melon.
Yeah.
Really? Farming. This is where we're going, boys?
I've been playing a game.
Tell me, I'm sorry, I don't understand. What have you been farming and why have you been farming melons? Please, you're in England.
Well, like another 500,000 people, I've been playing a lot of Stardew Valley.
Stardew Valley. My 10-year-old is addicted to it, so it must be right at your level.
Yeah, it's amazing. Maze balls, really is.
Yeah, I see. There's an awful lot of depth to it. I mean, Charlie's playing away. He's trying to find some guy on a beach so he can get married. He's been playing it solo now for a couple of weeks, and absolutely loving it, Rich. So, yeah. I mean, it looks like, but it seems to have hooked in lots of people at the moment.
It's amazing, and it's perfect for letting your kids play, because it's difficult, so like older kids can get their head around it, but there's no like adult stuff really, so it's fine. It's a beautiful game for kids to play.
All right.
Which game is this?
Stardew Valley. You can tell us all about it in a minute or two.
Yes.
Okay. So we've got a special guest on tonight, and some say he is the fastest thing to come out of Yorkshire since puddings. But I know him as Dave Avery. Smurftastic, welcome very much to the show.
All right. Hello. I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Good, absolutely spot on. So, Dave, I know you from Forza and from racing and the track community. Please tell us a bit about yourself. This is your first podcast, so we're going to be gentle with you. Well,
yeah.
Unless you want a bit rougher. So tell us a wee bit where you're from and a bit about your gaming history and how you get started and got to know us all.
Well, to be fair, I'm from Yorkshire. Middle-ish sort of thing. And I got gaming back in, Battlefield Modern Combat was my first game. First online game, anyway. Met Henwood and whatnot through track and went from there, really, through old gamers, then went to track. Started playing Forza, but originally I was more of like a COD player and a FIFA player.
Yeah.
And then basically started playing all different kind of games and everything like that, really.
I think a lot of us sort of start with the old COD and stuff like that. There's COD or Halo or FIFA. Yeah. But
the good idea is obviously now I've branched out a few more different games. I started playing Division, which is obviously an RPG game and all that skill based kind of tree gaming and whatnot, and it's quite hard to get used to sometimes when you're used to just shooting points.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. But,
yeah, when PC history, I played a lot, but when I got into consoles, all I really played was COD, and it was starting to listen to some of the guys on the podcasts, which kind of opened my mind a little bit to try other stuff, and maybe that's just what you're going with now, so that's brilliant. Well, it looks really, really good to have you on the show. We'll bring you through here and see how we get on. I've had a cracking week this week. And this week coming is going to be absolutely brilliant. On next Friday, I'm taking my 10-year-old to his first Nerd Fest. We're going to Res down in Tobacco Dock in London, which is like the indie game show. We're flying in on Friday morning and flying back out on Friday night. So he'll get a kick out of that. So there's going to be a lot of good stuff at that. I think a lot of the VR stuff is going to be at it. So. We'll give it another crack at that, and I think there's about 160 playable games at it, so that's cool.
It's going to be sick.
And then hopefully before then, I was really hoping it was going to arrive today. It was Thursday morning. In this room that I'm in now, my gaming room, we've got two 32-inch TVs and two Xbox Ones, PS4, everything's in here, and it's in our beautiful. It's a big conservatory, and when the blinds are all open. You see over the 40 shades of green, over the rolling hills, and it's beautiful. But these two big TVs and all the bits and pieces are blocking that view a little bit. So, lying in bed Thursday morning, Judith started going, well, do you know what, Ron? It'd be great if you could get rid of those two TVs down in that room so we could see the view. And when you weren't gaming, we could use that room so it didn't just look as so high-tech. What about getting one of those screen things that come down from the roof? Projector, isn't that what they're called? I went, expensive enough sort of thing, yeah, but you think? Yeah, yeah. So we came back downstairs and I said, what size? Like, this is sort of 5 foot? I said, no, the whole window, 8 or 9 feet wide. Can you do that? I'll look into it today. He says, well, I think we should get it done as quickly as possible. So by 7:30 on Thursday evening, I had a screen ordered, a projector ordered, all the bits and pieces before she could possibly change her mind. So I've got an Epson 1080p HD projector coming with 3D in it as well, seemingly, and a couple of pairs of specs. And I've got a motorized 9-foot screen, which we remote control comes down. So the only thing that arrived today was a couple of 10 meter long HDMI cables. I was really hoping the thing would arrive today, but come Monday evening, I'm going to have a ball and I'm going to be sitting here playing Forza on a at least an 8-foot screen. That's going to be absolutely class.
That's going to be sick.
So there's no excuse when you crash into people now, is there?
Yeah, I'll be really into it then. Yeah, well, maybe, yeah, it'll maybe give me a better chance to see people. Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. We're going to move on now. If there's nothing more you guys want to add or mention about your week, or anything strange, let's have a chat about the sort of stuff that we've been up to. Kim, have you been doing any gaming this week?
Kim,
have you been doing any gaming this week? Kim, she can't hear.
I don't know if she can hear you.
Oh dear, well, it's not going to go that well, is it? Nicole, how about you? What have you been up to this week, apart from avoiding tornadoes?
Actually went old school still. I'm really enjoying back in Borderlands, so I've been playing Borderlands with Jim, and then played that Gears of War Ultimate Edition or whatever it is.
That's, yeah.
I've been playing that by myself.
Gears,
realized.
It's Gears 1, isn't it?
Yeah, I got a little rusty apparently, so had to figure out how to
Rudy
knock the rust
Rudy
off.
Run. And yeah. You see, is it nice being back to it again? I mean, can you? I have it. I haven't touched it really at all. Is it as good as you remember it from way back?
Oh yeah, like I picked it up and I went and did everything I was supposed to. The controls feel a little wonky to me. Like they don't. Like the character doesn't move as smoothly as I remember. But that could be just me trying to get everything together and match it all up. But yeah, I'm like, the same sarcasm, the same the graphics actually look a little prettier, but I don't know. I'm going blind, so who knows? The graphics may look like shit. I don't know.
The control thing, I don't know. I'm a bit frightened for the new one coming out. I mean, we all love the 3, and especially that horde mode thing that we all played and got so many hours of fun out of. Yes. But it is a slower way that you move. You know, it's not as twitchy as a lot of stuff that we're used to. And, you know, maybe
well,
it is just that.
I hope they just don't screw it up like they did with Judgment. Because with Judgment, they rearranged some of the stuff. The way you placed a grenade. So I kept blowing crap up I didn't mean to. And I don't like that. I want them to stick with the way they had it for 3. But
yeah.
I'm a picky bitch, so, you know.
When is the new one due out? Is it later this year? Is it November time or September?
Later this year, and then the beta is supposed to start soon.
I should be getting codes, right? Yeah, because you get a code for that if you had the Ultimate Edition, isn't that right?
Yeah, but you had to play it by a certain date.
And Borderlands?
Yeah.
Good fun to go back to as well?
It is. Again, it's that camaraderie you get, and as much as Claptrap annoys the shit out of me, he's really funny. So hearing some of his stuff again, playing the missions over, and used to actually remember the maps. And I'm like, okay, I know there was something over here, so we got to go over here and go get this. And, oh yeah, I found that yesterday. This is over here. But
graphically, it would probably stand up pretty well because of the type of think graphical style cell shading that they use, so it probably stands up a lot better than some other stuff that's a few years old.
No, it's still pretty.
That's cool. I hear, are you playing this new Clash thing, are you?
Clash Royale? Yeah, I do.
Is it any good?
I like it because it's on my time and I don't have, you know, when we did Clash Clans, you had to have, we had the Wednesday thing or the Saturday thing, and then we'd all go to war together. Well, this one is, it's you versus one other person. You go into an arena, do your thing, and you're done. And it's whenever you want to do it, not whenever somebody says, hey, let's go to war.
Yeah, well, I mean, I still have it. I only check it sort of once a day now, but you get raided every day, and like 500,000 thing gets whipped off you, and it takes so long to build anything up, and I don't know. I have to delete it. I have to make the step. I have to do it.
I'm right where you are, but I don't check it even once a day. I'm to the point where maybe once a month, and I should be able to delete it, but at the same time, I'm like, I hate leaving all my friends of, but they're all going to Clash Royale, so that does help a little.
Put so much work into that as well.
There's no work. It's a card game.
Yeah, and also, I mean, there's so much work in Clash.
It's
taken 2 years to build that thing, and it seemed, I know it's pointless, but anyway. Rich, what about yourself?
I've been playing GTA 5. I still haven't finished it. 3 year old game.
What are you doing, mate?
I just get lost and like just distracted by like life. You know, like GTA life. Like I'll be sat there and me and my missus will be watching a film. Like any like shit, what have I done? Sorry, one sec. There you go. Any nondescript type of film. And I'll be like, I've been there in GTA. Like every day something like that comes up, and like just because it's a world you get lost in. Really is, and like it's like real life. But anyway, I just haven't finished it yet, so I keep plugging along, and I'm about 70% through now, I think.
So you're playing the main campaign missions now?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. I'm at the part, no spoilers, but I'm at the part where, well, I don't know, 3 year old spoiler, whatever. I'm at the part where Trevor and Michael are really starting to fall out.
Oh, yeah.
So they've started really falling out with each other. I
love some of the characters. There was side missions with this old couple, but they weren't married, and they kept on kidnapping people or wanting people to be kidnapped, so they could get their autographs. They were like stalkers. Have you came across them yet? No.
I think so.
About 6 or 8 missions. So I just thought that the level of detail of and the variety of all the little side missions are so bloody wacky. It was just brilliant. And I actually agree, you can get lost in it. I love that game. And I was never a GTA fan. I didn't like 4 at all. Tried to get through it, but couldn't. GTA 5, I think it was early this year? No, it couldn't have been. It must have been early last year. Yeah. Early last year that I played it, which is brilliant.
That's when it came back out on the next gens. Sometime early last year, yeah. So I'm still, you know, trying to get through that. And I picked up my new 3DS XL as well. It's huge. Oh. It's big.
Really? Massive.
It's like, when I'm playing it, it's like watching telly. Because, like, the screen size is that size when it's in your field of vision. So it's like watching TV. I've been playing on it, Pokemon, obviously. But also Link Between Worlds. I've been playing that.
Words.
Words. Nintendo. Words.
Yeah.
What? It's all right. Yeah, it's all right. It's a bit more top down than I would have liked. It's like a Zelda game, but it's like more top down, which is a bit weird, but it's pretty good. My main game though that I've played recently was Stardew Valley, like I said before.
So for people that don't know, what is Stardew Valley?
Stardew Valley is a 16-bit graphical era type game where you inherit a farm. And you build that farm, you plant crops, you grow crops, you sell them, get money, you can get resources, you can chop trees down and like break boulders up and get stone, you can upgrade your tools and stuff, get better farm stuff, more crops, bigger farm. But there's like this town next door and like you can be friends with everyone and you give them gifts and time goes by, like every day is... in the calendar, so like one day is like one calendar day, so you go to sleep and the next day you wake up, it's the next day, and there's 28 days in a season, and there's 4 seasons in a year, and you can only grow certain crops in certain seasons.
I might. Okay, I've heard people saying that there's another Nintendo game, you're the town lord, the town mayor or something, you go around fishing and getting apples. What was that called?
Harvest Moon, people call it.
Harvest Moon.
People say Harvest Moon. Is it Harvest Moon? What's the other one?
Yeah, Harvest Moon. There was another one. It was a 3DS game, a 3DS XL game. And you went round, again, so you went fishing.
Animal Crossing,
New Leaf. Yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah, so it's like it's like them two games. But
that sort of thing.
I've not played either of those games. I think I played a bit of Animal Crossing on the GameCube a few years ago. So I've got no like frame of reference to this. Because everyone keeps saying it's like the other one.
Yeah. Okay.
It's charming. It's addicting because like it's so quick. Like you've got energy, so you can only do so much stuff in one day before you've got to go to sleep, and you've got to go to bed by I think 12 o'clock And if you get too exhausted, where you start walking slow, or you go to bed late, you wake up the next day with only like half energy. So you can't get as much.
Know that feeling?
Yeah, it's weird because like you'll get up one day and you've got to water your crops. So you'll water all your crops and then your energy will be like half gone. So then you've got to decide what you've got to do. Like, do I spend the rest of the day like giving gifts to people? Because you can marry people in the game. Do I give people gifts? Do I go fishing? Do I go in the mines? The mines are like procedurally generated. Do I go down there and get some like coal and iron and shit or whatever to make like smelters? And or do you just plant crops and just keep planting crops? It's
all right. It sounds like a chilled out sort of thing you can just chill out with.
Yeah, people call it a podcast game.
Podcast game. so you can play it on podcast at the same time. Okay.
Yeah. You could play it like while listening to podcasts, like Euro Truck. People said that's
Euro
like
Truck
a
Simulator. Yeah. When you put that on your radio.
Yeah, just fucking 3 hours just listening to like veteran gamers podcast while you're driving along to like I don't know. Eisenflausen or whatever.
Sorry, last question about it because it's not my cup of tea, but I'm sure lots of people out there are there. Is there an end game to it, or is it just keep on going forever sort of thing?
As far as I've seen so far, the only main goal, apart from becoming a farmer and having a great farm, is building the community center back, because it's like it's got a theme. Like you start off and you're in a corporate job and you're like a shit, you know, shit job, and you get bored and you open a letter from your dead dad or something, or dead granddad, and he's like, you get a farm if you want, you know, give up your industrial life and go work on a farm. So you do that, and then it's all about rustic and getting back to, you know, nature. And there's the enemy in the game is Jojo Mart. They're like a corporation, like a Asda. And they're like trying to take over and like taking business away from the shopkeeper. But what's really cool is like these little cutscenes will happen dead randomly. Like I'm trying to get into Abigail.
Pardon?
I'm trying to get into a girl called Abigail.
Okay.
I'm trying to get off with Abigail. Basically, she seems to be the one.
Nicole's face says it all.
she seems to be like the one that seems kind of cool. There's another one called Haley. She's like a blonde, like prim person. She's kind of into me. But she's all like, that's dirty. So she can't be like a farm wench. So I'm not going to marry her. But Abigail, I just walked in a house. Because there's so much to this game, I don't know where to start. Basically, the more gifts you give to people, you get like love hearts with them. I think they go up to like 10. So when you get to like 10, you're like best friends. I think once you get to like 2 love hearts, you're able to get like this cutscene with people at like a random time. So I walked into Abigail's house and she was trying to play this game on like a console and she couldn't do it, so she asked me to join 2 players so we could complete it together. So we did. It's like this like top down like twin stick shooter type game. It's really cool. But we played that and then we won, and then like we got more friends and just like things like that. But there was this one thing where I was in a shop and then there was like loads of people in there, and it was like a cutscene, and then the Jojo Mart owner come in and was like, here's coupons for everyone, and just held up these coupons and everyone just like fucked off. And the owner was like, owner of the shop was like, oh my god, like, just, you know, whoops, stole all my business. So,
do you know what, Rich? Do you know what? That sounds fabulous for somebody, but not for me. That sounds so mundane, but it's bound to be fun if you're in it. But it's just
what it's it like, is.
Oh god, how can you say it? It sounds like shite.
It's like you, your end goal is to plant your crops, because like all this stuff's going on, but. You know, like that Minecraft or, you know, that itch of like, I've got to collect all these resources because I want to build this big thing. Well, that's what it's like. So every day it's like, oh, yeah, walk around the town. It's a bit boring, but it's a bit charming. But it's like, okay, if I go sleep now and tomorrow, I'll definitely have all them melons. So I'll harvest those. I'll sell them. I'll have 3 grand. Then I can go buy those parsnip seeds, plant shitloads of them and have loads more money. But then like a lightning storm will happen at night and break your fences. So you have to fix your fences. Or I've heard on the, it was on the Giant Bomb podcast, they said a witch came at night and like did a spell on like the chicken coop, and the next day they had like a demon chicken who lays like demon chicken eggs. What I will say, this game was made by one guy. It sold like 500,000 copies. It was made by one guy. It's a proper labor of love.
Kind of like Minecraft then.
Yeah, it's a proper labor of love, and it's just really, it's just fun. It's just really nice.
It's nice that something that so different has really captured everybody's hearts and went on. Anything else, Richard?
No, nothing of note. That's about it. Uncharted 3. My missus has been playing all the Uncharted games, right? And she's been playing Uncharted 3 today. She said that the graphics are shit because Nathan Drake keeps putting his hands through walls and people's heads. You'll be running through like a corridor, and there'll all be all this water, and he'll just like fall over and die for no reason. There was one bit, right? I was trying to like help her with it. She was getting chased by these like little spiders in Uncharted 2. Was this 2? Or was it 3? 2. Was it 2 with the spiders, guys?
No, 3.
No, 3 it is. In a temple with the 3. All these spiders come, so you're running out and you've got to jump up this like Assassin's Creed style like chimney thing. You get up and then like your mate's there on the ledge with his hand out and you've got to like jump and grab his hand at the right minute. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So she was running, jumped, grabbed his hand, and then he fell. He fell on the floor. So she died and had to do it again. So just stuff like that. And it's like, they shouldn't measure Uncharted by how many hours it takes to finish the game. They should measure Uncharted by how many bullets it takes. Because I swear to God, it takes about 1 million bullets to kill some of them fuckers.
Yeah, well, that's bullet sponges. But he does kill plenty of them.
He kills a lot, but they are bullet sponges, I swear to God.
But the thing is she having fun with it? Apart from the head going in the wall and people's their bodies and stuff like that there. And the glitchiness of it. Is she having fun?
Are you having fun? Yeah, are you having fun with it anyway?
It's okay, it's not great.
It's okay, it's not great.
I wouldn't recommend it.
She wouldn't recommend it.
I won't be buying 4.
And she won't be buying 4? What game do you like on PS4?
Destiny.
She likes Destiny.
Destiny's pretty.
Oh, I still gotta get on there and play with her.
And so, yeah. does it worry her? So, because it's the third way conversation here. Does it worry her that maybe 3 was style over substance? And 4 is coming. Is it going to be more of the same? Style over substance? I mean, it looks fabulous, but will it be polished?
I think so, yeah. I mean, the gunplay was better, she said, in the third one from the second. It was a bit better at shooting.
Hey, Richard, tell you what. Bugger off. Get her on.
Yeah? do you want to get on the podcast? Do you want to come say hello?
Bang the headset on.
Oh, just come on. She doesn't want him.
No, that's all right. We'll get her booked in for next week.
Yeah.
You're fired.
Get her booked in for next week.
She's coming. Right, hold on, wait there. Put these on.
Hello.
This is the mic.
Hello.
Hey. Look, so we have some questions for you. Does he put his dirty laundry in the laundry basket, or do you have to pick it up?
No, he does do he does pick his laundry up, but he doesn't clean very often.
Hey!
Okay. When he takes his teeth out at night, does he have them in a separate glass, or does he leave them in the sink?
Luckily he's got his own teeth for now. I might knock him out soon, though.
Does he have more than one hair product that he keeps in the bathroom?
Yes.
Mmm. Does he have a pair of hair straighteners?
No.
Okay. Does he have a favourite pair of underwear that he likes to wear more than once a week?
I can't hear what you're saying, by the way.
He has underwear that he really doesn't like, but, you know, that's what men are like.
What is the best thing that Richard cooks, or does he not cook at all?
Toast is the only thing he can cook.
Oh my goodness.
Cheese on toast.
You know what? We've told him for so long that he's batting way above his weight. So, you know, you must be a star to take that sorry case on there. And good luck. And we're here to support you in any way you can. We need this to get through with Richard. Okay,
thank you.
That's fantastic to chat with you.
All right, thanks, bye.
Bye.
Can the camera say bye? Hello.
Okay, that's fantastic, Richard. We've heard all about you now, you're buggered. Dave, what about yourself, sir? What have you been up to this week or the last few weeks? What is
Division grinding, big time. Yeah, it's a great game, to be fair. But everyone that I play with is 30, and I'm just trying to you know, because of work and whatnot, just trying to catch up with him. I have finally done it now.
Very good. Oh, you're up to 30. So. Wow, you're way ahead of me.
30 in main game, and I think like 16 or 19 or something in Dark Zone, but Dark Zone's a bit hard to keep it up.
Yeah, okay. We'll sort of cross over then, because I've been dipping in and out of division. I just hit level 20 today. I mean, the way I've been playing it is, you know, sometimes I'll have maybe only 20 minutes, but it is that sort of game you can drop into for 20 minutes and do a quick side mission or pick up some phones or bits and pieces. And there's people have said, and I've heard them say, that it's you can't play it by yourself. And it is great fun with other people, but I'm having a ball myself as well, just wandering around the city going, oh, there's the Flatiron building, or oh, there's this, that, the other, and doing missions by myself. Goodness, I just discovered, and I never used it, the sticky bomb this afternoon. That is so much fun.
Yeah.
You throw it and it sticks to someone and they explode. I just, all that detail on it, I think, is brilliant.
What I like most about Division is the fact that I live with my roommate Laura, and she plays Xbox as well. She plays with us.
Cool.
And everything. And then she's good at shooters, you know, she likes it and everything, but sometimes COD's a bit too fast-paced for her, whereas Division is quite a slow-paced, cover-based shooting game. And it's really easy to pick up and get the dynamics of the actual playing of it. And I think it rewards people that actually do wait a tiny bit, and, you know, I think it's a really good game, you know, to be fair. I've really enjoyed it. I'm glad that it's good as what I thought it was going to be,
because
of the long wait.
I think the only problem that people are having just with it at the moment is the disparity in levels. So, you know, at the beginning, that first week, everybody was jumped on it. We're all roughly, you know, 6, 7, 8 working our way up, and we could all join in together, and it was fine. And now some people, like our buddy Mark Annex, is on a second character at level 30, and, you know, just nutballs, you know, just absolutely crazy amount of time.
It depends on what you've got, though. If you've got a group of four people and you've got, like, 3 30s and then one maybe 22 or 24, you can go through a 30 mission, and the other three can drag the other person through. As long as you get a few shots on one or two people and then just hide behind cover, you still get the XP for it.
Yeah.
And then you rank up faster as well.
And if you're happy enough to do that, that's absolutely, you know, spot on. Because I've done that with some of the guys as well. Even when I was like 6 and they were 12, it's the same sort of thing. For me personally, I think that when I probably hit level 30, that'll be me done with the game. I think when I'm done with the story mode, I'll probably park it. I'll maybe come back to it for a bit of money.
Then you get all the incursions and the DLC and everything.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've already
come out, I think.
I was looking tonight. I mean, I've already put in, what, 30 plus hours to it? That's a lot. I've already got my value for money out of it. So, and I'm enjoying playing it. I'll go to the story and see how we get on from there. Yeah, but that's cool. And of course, you have been playing some Forza this week. And I think,
you know, always. Can't get off it. Have to play it. It's like a job.
We'll talk about that later on. Anything else, Dave?
Actually, no. That's pretty boring, that, to be fair. Just a lot of YouTube.
No.
Yeah.
Division's big. It is big, big thing. Okay, well, to finish off with myself then, the last episode in Season 1 of Minecraft Story Mode came out this week, and I finished it off. Nicole, are you okay? Are you all right?
Yes, you just finish yourself off. Go ahead.
I'm not going to finish myself off, because that sounds terrible.
Oh, that's what you said.
Oh, did I say that? Did I?
Yeah, she goes. I'm gonna finish off.
Right, okay. All right. The last episode of Minecraft Story Mode in Season 1 came out. And you know, Minecraft Story Mode, it was for the kids, and it's like a brain dead thing. You could stick it on and just rattle through the last couple of hours of it. The last episode of 5 has nothing to do whatsoever with the previous 4. Apart from its continuation on a new storyline. And, you know, I liked some of the characters. It was fun to play through. But it was a bit, yeah. And it's not even meant for kids, really. Because the first 4 episodes are full of death of friends, backstabbing, dishonesty, deceit. I mean, there's a lot of big, big subjects in there. The death of a close friend. It's not lighthearted as
I've seen it being played.
Yeah, so you know,
my friend's daughter plays it.
Yeah, and it was fun, but there was some sort of serious storylines in it there that maybe the wee kids maybe a bit above them. So it was fun, nice to do it. They're going to bring out another 3 episodes. It's not part of that season pass, and it's going to continue on. But it's DLC, so yeah, Minecraft Story Morning, just done, tidied away out of the way. I finished up then I finished off Lifeline, which is an iOS game, which is, we've maybe mentioned it before, I actually finished the story. I thoroughly recommend picking this up. It's on iOS, it's on everything, handheld. It's a sort of a text-based game. You get a text message through from this guy, Taylor, or girl, who has crash-landed on a planet, and you have to help this person survive. And there'll be different scenarios. You have to encourage them to either climb down into a crater, or walk around the crater, or go in the horrible dark spaceship, or stay outside of it. And there's a whole mystery, around it all. And it's based over a sort of a 2 or 3 or 4 day period. I just thought it was wonderful. Very, very original. And thoroughly recommend you pick up Lifeline. The other thing that I've discovered this week, and it's really old, it's a game called Motorsport Manager. With my love of Formula One and all things racing, this came out in 2014. Again, it's an iOS game. It's Metacritic'd up, but God, 90-odd. So the idea is, it's like a lot of those video game developer manager, those iOS games. This is creating a racing team. You sign drivers, engineers, you develop your car. And then once you've done all that, you've got sponsors to pick the right sponsor. You can develop your aerodynamics and your engineering. And then you go off to race day. So you have to choose your tire settings, hard or soft, and aerodynamics.
Sounds like Henwood's dream, doesn't it?
Gearing, yes, brilliant. So the race then starts after qualifying, and you have to choose when you come into the pits for new tyres. Your tyres wear out. There's lots of strategy in there. It's done live on a little mini track. And it just captured me. It's brilliant. So
Motorsport. Quite better than National F1 right now, isn't it, to be fair?
Yeah, it's the same idea. Yeah, same idea. It's based on sort of a Formula One sort of thing.
It's probably better than it.
Maybe more exciting. Motorsport Manager, it was free. I think there's in-app purchases somewhere down the line. Nice. But I haven't came across any of those anywhere. So that's what I've been up to. So anybody interested in racing, grab with that. Okay, so we're going to have a chat about some of the things that have been going on in the world of gaming. And
Robin.
Before
we do that.
Yeah, okay.
Shall we give a shout out to the people in the chat?
That would be wonderful and very polite.
Yeah. I'll read off some names, eh?
Okay.
We've got GamerGirl27, she's there.
Kim!
We've got Off Target.
Uh-huh, yeah.
We have
Pac-Man.
We have Parsnip.
He's gay.
He's back.
Hey, Parsnip!
Back again. RCGC.
Sarah, hello.
We also have Real Kahuna.
Kahuna.
He's an old one. He goes back, way back. Teflon 12, he's in.
Hey, Teflon, Jason!
We've got the Henwood.
Yeah,
he's there. Nice. He's the racing one, isn't he? He does racing.
He's a man.
Little bit of racing. And Wazoo, he's there.
Oh, Wazoo. Wazoo, good evening, Joshua Tate. Would you please get to sleep, my son?
You missed a few.
Who else we got there, Nicole?
Yeah. Martin one was on there, and then Chapstick actually popped in for a minute too.
Chapstick,
but
yes.
He has to go to bed, and so we got to remember to wish him a happy birthday too.
Yeah,
I did on here. It's only 2 days late. What the hell?
What the hell? What do we do?
What the hell?
Okay, good. All right. Well, look, some new stuff. All right, so. First things up, there was a conference this week, the Microsoft Build thing, which is for developers, and Phil Spencer was at it, and he was interviewed by GameSpot, and they asked him about this talk about the Xbox and PlayStation going into 4.5 and 1.5 and all of this sort of thing, and what Phil has turned around and said that he's not really interested in about Xbox 1.5. And he's more interested in really substantial changes rather than anything else.
Okay.
which I thought sort of puts a nail on the coffin of the, some of the things we talked about a few weeks ago, where or I was suggesting there was going to be the incremental stuff, that there was maybe going to be a Xbox and a half.
Hmm.
But it sounds like he's talking about this is really going to be a big step rather than smaller steps. And yeah. Maybe the things that they were talking about is a SD hard drive and stuff like that there rather than this incremental stuff. And where PlayStation are talking about going to this the 4K type thing. But as soon as so he seems to have came back and said, look, no, that's not what we're doing. And he doesn't know if Sony are doing it, but if they're doing it, we're not interested in that. So
yeah,
what do you think?
I think, to be honest, I was kind of surprised because from what he was saying the other week, it seemed like he was actually talking about like small increments or like small upgrades, and I don't know, like now he's gone back on it. So is he saying that there's going to be like a new entire console every couple of years now? Is that what he's trying to say?
Well, I suppose it depends what you think about really, really substantial changes. I mean, does that mean the format of the box itself? The shape and form, like a smaller one, or does it mean the power in it?
Yeah.
I mean, their past record is just the form and shape of it with a bigger hard drive. That's been about it. Mm. I don't know. You know what? E3 is going to be a big enough thing this year, and it'll put a lot of these rumors to rest, I'm quite sure.
I'm looking forward to seeing the E3 this year. The NX is just going to be, wow, so good.
I don't really know much about this sort of stuff, but I quite like the Xbox One, what it's got, the features behind it, and everything like that. I think it's actually quite good. A lot of the updates that they bring in are what the fans wanted anyway, ages ago. But I like the chat and all that sort of stuff and the like and everything like that. But I just think that I don't know. They can just do it faster and better, and do it right from the get-go.
So in, say, a year's time, Dave, if they were going to come and say, look, November of 2017, going to have one, and the graphics are going to be half as good again, and the processor is going to be faster, would that interest you?
I don't care about graphics. I mean, I like Minecraft. That's not good graphics. But the good thing about Minecraft is it's got really good social play.
Mm.
And if it wasn't for actual Xbox Live, I wouldn't play Xbox. I'm not a solo player. I don't play games on my own. I want you to come in parties and sit and chat with mates. If like Xbox Live goes down, I'm like, oh, I'll go to bed then. Why, no point being awake, because that sounds really sad. But so I mean, I'll often come in parties and just sit and sit and chat. So I don't really care about graphics. I don't care about how good, everything runs. As long as it runs correctly and it runs, right, I don't.
Mm. Well, that's the thing I miss from that's the one thing I miss from not getting Xbox One this gen, was the social. I used to love being on Xbox Live, party chat and getting in with people and all that. Not really the same on PC.
But is PC not a lot easier now? I know Charlie has found friends. Excuse me. Charlie has found friends online through the PC as well.
How do you find friends on PC? I'm sorry, I'm not a PC gamer, so what do you do? Do you just sort of like invite them to a chat or?
Maybe I'm just more like antisocial in my old age now. Maybe I just don't give a fuck. And I don't know. But it's easier. When you look at it, it's easier on PC to find friends on that. So it should be dead simple, but I think it's just the immediacy of Xbox Live. It's there, isn't it? You know what I mean? It's a good service. It really is.
On the flip side of that, you've got the fact that on Xbox now, you pretty much every single night, we go on, me, Robin and everything like that, we'll go on, we'll join a party of the same 6-7 people and maybe never invite anyone else into the party because we're always in that party. If some games only allow game chat, can you imagine how many more friends you may find online?
Yeah, because party chat kind of killed that,
having the same 6-7 people.
Yeah, because when party chat came
along, really.
It was one of them things, like, it kind of, Xbox Live became almost silent when that came out. You'd go on COD 4 or like World at War, whatever it was that was out at the time. And as soon as Party Chat came out, barely anyone was speaking. But before that, it was, you know, swear word this, fuck you that.
Yeah, exactly.
I found mates that way as well. I mean, that was Modern Warfare 2 was my first sort of Xbox 360 experiences. And I found friends that I'm still friends with now because of that, because it was completely open. Because there were dicks that were fuck you, there's all this sort of thing. But there were decent people out there as well you could find. And you're absolutely right, it just did it. It switched it off overnight. So,
I mean, the bad thing is, I see was it Nicole shaking her head there, and that's probably about the party chat thing. The party chat's great for obviously, again, my roommate, Laura, for female gamers, because I was in COD ages and ages ago, and as soon as a girl talks on the mic, it's like a chuffing magnet. It's absolutely terrible. It brings all the sexual teenage demons out and just attracts them to a voice.
It's disgusting.
It ruins the experience for people like Nicole, and that's not fair. So party chat's needed. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that, but I think it'd be nice to probably encourage people to join and chat more in an adult maybe environment. But that's never going to be happening because you can't control the masses.
Yeah.
So they're doing the best they can. But there's definite need for it. But I'd like to see some integration maybe, like on Division. Yeah. Sometimes you'll jump into game chat. Because you can see the bar trickling that they're actually talking. And if they're a date, you just go back into party chat.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, sorry, Nicole, I've never experienced, you know, anybody calling me sexy and wanting to get my necks off.
Never will.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. But that must be horrible, Nicole, actually. Just that.
It's not fun. But the amount of verbal abuse you get going into game chat as a woman is absolutely ridiculous, which is why having a community like we do is beneficial.
Yeah.
I'm like, us girls will definitely band together because at one time we were in the minority and now we're not. But being able to joke and play and talk with
safely.
You guys.
Yeah, safely.
No, you guys are like our brothers.
Yeah, and we can be rude, but it's with it. But there's boundaries for the rudeness as well. Yeah. Yeah, well, so
I can give you an example. We were playing Halo back in the day.
I was just going to say Halo 3.
Yeah. And we were in a big group, and of course, me, only girl. Chutney had left, so it was just me. And one of the guys made some comment about what he was going to do to me that wasn't very polite. And two of the other guys shut him. No, it was worse. Two of the other guys just shut him straight down. Like, no, you can't talk to her like that. She's part of our family. Don't even. And he ended up, you know, getting razzed pretty hard because the G4TE guys jumped on it.
Yeah, it's been a good community. It's been good that way. People look out for each other, you know.
I've got my friend absolutely messaging me massively on WhatsApp saying I'm the same. She's obviously got in with the track lot that we play with every night, and she's exactly the same. She wouldn't actually play Division if it weren't for us bringing her in, talking her through it, and getting to know the game, and now she just comes in for a chat. So it's really nice that that's happened.
Oh, that's the girl that was on in the party with Forge on Wednesday evening, then, was it?
She bought. I got to buy an Xbox One just so she can chat and meet with the guys and actually talk instead of nicking my headset all the time.
So the upshot of that. The upshot of that is, do you know what? We're not really fussed. If this Xbox and PlayStation stuff comes, well, so be it. We'll deal with it as it comes. All right.
As long as it works.
As long as it works. From the get-go, not 2 years later. So the next iteration of Call of Duty is, there's some rumors about what it's going to be. The last Call of Duty is the first Call of Duty I have not bought, so I've maybe just got a bit past it now. Anyway, the rumors are that Infinity Ward, who's developing this, they're the guys that would have done Modern Warfare and Ghosts, are developing a advanced, really advanced warfare, which will be in space. in spaceship. And it'll not be a follow-on from Ghosts, thank God. But it's really going into the future, and there'll be alleged space battles and stuff like this here. I was hoping that they were going to go back to World War II or even World War I or something out there. And going straight into space now is right in Titanfall land in my mind, and even into Halo. With Destiny.
Didn't people joke about that though, mate? Like a few years ago, it was like, right, they've gone like now, and then they've gone like a few years ahead. Yep. Didn't people have said it's going to be fucking Call of Duty in space?
Yeah.
They did. Those exact words.
Yeah, those words.
That was the joke.
That was a real thing.
If I could just chirp in here, I think it's a complete terrible idea. If just for example, yesterday I was doing some stuff on my hard drive, and I thought, and I saw someone playing Modern Warfare 2 on my friends list. I was like, that's a cracking game. Let's see if I can find it, you know. And I went in and just searched it, and it came with all the COD DLC and all the add-ons and everything like that. And I honestly, I had to turn it off because the amount of colours that are popping off my screen is ridiculous. Who wants a purple, aluminous, yellow, moving, chopping thing when you're running around? You're supposed to be in the army, like, you know. Camo.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care. I don't want a purple orange army. And it's just annoying. The best COD was Call of Duty 4 or Black Ops 1, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Black Ops.
I love COD 4. But I have a real fondness in my heart for Modern Warfare 2, because it was where I really got into my multiplayer.
To be fair, I played Call of Duty 4, but I never really got into Modern Warfare 2, to be fair. I started a little bit after that. I hate it.
See, I do like Call of Duty, but I've always been a Battlefield guy, like always, and apparently Battlefield 5 is going to be back to World War 1.
Brilliant. You know, that's really good, because there hasn't really been much like that. The problem with them going into space is that there's too many other things like that. So instead of being this class war shooter, it's now just going to be a sci-fi shooter like so many of the other ones. So what will make
the difference?
We
already have Warframe.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, we
don't need someone else in space.
Like we said, we've got Destiny and we've got Halo, two flagship titles. Is this going to be another one of them, just with more shit on the screen? I mean,
it'll be that with all of the same tropes. Mm. You'll be able to have a jetpack now, even high, it'll go even higher. I don't know, oxygen will come into place now and that sort of stuff. Yeah. I mean,
won't be a jetpack, mate. I think people are just floating by each other, just shooting randomly.
Now, saying that, I mean, in one of the previous ones there, one of the levels was up in space. Which one was that? You were on a sort of a space station. Was that in Ghosts? I can't remember.
It was Ghosts.
And that I actually really enjoyed that. That
I think.
Maybe 15-20 minute level, but I wouldn't want to do that in the whole thing. I think it's a poor form for them. And again, it's not official. This is all rumor, and the E3 should bring that all around.
Yeah.
The next story here that I have a wee chat with will probably interest you, Rich. There's talk now that Sony could be bringing PlayStation VR to PC. Now, they're still saying that the focus is going to remain on the PlayStation 4, but because the PlayStation 4 and the PC is so similar now, it wouldn't be a big, big effort to bring it over to PC. And Sony's Masai Ito told a Japanese newspaper that they're considering the headset, they're calling it, to be available on the PC, but nothing's going to happen straight away.
Yeah.
I think this is a cracking idea.
Really is.
I think it's absolutely stellar.
Yeah.
That'd be brilliant.
If only for one reason, guys, they will be half the price of their competitor.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Who's going to go out and pay $800 when they could get half the cost and get mostly, you know, more or less the same experience? Because the Oculus is a lot of money, but you've also got to have a fucking machine to play it, to use it.
Absolutely right, Rich. I mean, I was listening to a bit of the Giant Bombcast, the latest one today, and it's sort of their VR episode. And they were saying, you know, they had the Oculus and they were doing a lot of live streaming with it. And a lot of the stuff that they had, even in the rig that they sent them, and when they brought the rigs home to play with at home, the stuff ran like shite. And I imagine that the Giant Bomb guys have pretty decent rigs. Mm-hmm. They said that was it. The Valkyrie, the space one?
Yeah, that's the main like big one they're pushing, isn't it?
Saying that, you know, he was running a top end i5 with a really good card, overclock processor, and it was dropping to 4 and 5 frames.
Yeah,
you know, just that I think is the biggest downfall of the PC VR stuff, the spec levels that you're going to have for the quality of the games, because none of these are AAA games. There's maybe a few which are pretty good, but what they're saying is that the games that are there's not a lot of depth to them. Yeah. They're okay. But I'm sure that the same thing will apply to the Sony one. They're not going to have a depth. They're going to be okay.
Yeah, unless they come out with like a flagship game. I don't think VR will kick off. Like, it's just going to be novelty, isn't it? Like 3D.
Yeah.
Like 3D was all the rage a couple of years ago. How many games had 3D? I think one of the Call of Duties might have had it.
All right. Well, let's look at that. So, BioShock. The first BioShock, which is 10 years old, had a budget of $25 million, which is small potatoes now.
Yeah.
So the problem with them developing a really stellar game is Sony or whoever it may be or Steam have the money are going to have to throw in, $50 million, $75 million, $100 million
easy
to make something AAA, which will maybe only sell a million units at most after a year or 2 years. And that's the problem, because if they make that stellar game now and it sells 100,000 or 200,000 units just to get it off the ground, it's a big risk to throw all that money in.
See, I think for the PC, my bet is on Valve. If they come around with something like Dota and put like VR support in it, but like made it like a whole new meta type game where it was like, it wasn't just like putting a pair of glasses on. You know, it was an actual, like, improved thing. I think that could push it for the PC market for that game, because that, you know, a lot of people play that game. But they're not going to go mainstream. Like, unless there is a game like a Halo or a Destiny or, you know, something like that, a game that could push. Like, imagine if GTA 6 come out and it was VR only. Something like that. Like you said, these studios are not going to invest $100 million in anything that's going to be worthwhile. These are just toys right now.
Yeah.
We'll have to see where they go.
I think it's the first wave. I think we are 10 years away from, maybe 5 years away from something that is just comes with the console or comes with the PC as a standard thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the headset's class. I think a lot of people are excited about it, but... I think it's early days. I think it's a Sinclair C5.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, PlayStation VR does release in October of this year, and they're selling out left, right, and centre. They've got masses and masses of orders. And I think I read today that the base pack that wasn't available is now available for pre-order again. So go for it. All right, this is an interesting one. Microsoft has put out a survey asking, would you be happy to sell back your digital games for 10% of what you paid for them in credit? It's simple enough, you know, 10%. If I paid a tenner for something online and got a pound back, well, it seems a bit mean, but at the end of the day, if I bought something at £10 that I played to death, say, for example, just recently, Unravel download game only, it was 15 quid. Would I be happy to get £1.50 or £1.75 back again for that? Probably, because I'm never going to play it again. I have no other option. I would like to get 20% back. That seems a bit more comfortable. And especially 50. Especially if it's online credit, you know? 50 would be better again, but it's not going to happen. Now, if you took Minecraft that you could buy for £10 or £15, and you can buy it on disc in a GameStop or a game shop, and how much would they give you for that in the store now? Would they give you a pound for it? So it's not that different to trading in a game. You get crappy prices for trading in a game and stuff like that.
I can feel Nicole just sort of jumping in. I think she just wants to jump in on this. I'm the same, because I literally have not bought a game since digital got released. In fact, to be fair, the Track guys actually bought me Destiny for my birthday. Thank you, guys, by the way. That's really nice of you. But so would I? Yeah, I know. We're a family, mate. We're nice. The knobs. So would I actually want to double trade in a digital game? Yeah, probably I would. Because I've got Battlefront. Mm-hmm. Great game, don't get me wrong, but I've not played it. Because other games have come out, i.e. Division and everything like that. So would I trade it in? Maybe. But then again, if I trade it in, I can't... Would I then have to buy it back?
Yeah, 12. Well, you paid 40 quid for it, so that's £16 you get for Battlefront now. That seems all right.
I'd have to buy it back then, wouldn't I, if I wanted it back? Because we sometimes do go... I'm sure we all go back to games quite often. So, and then the great thing about digital is the fact that you can uninstall it, keep it on the side thing, and then install it back onto your hard drive if you need it.
Yeah.
And that's the great thing about them. So...
Well, one of my problems is I have purchasitis. Now, I used to game share up to 2 weeks ago. I was game sharing with Fraser Fumu.
Yeah, I game share as well. It's great.
We bought another Xbox One for the house, and I couldn't work out a way to do three-way game share. Just couldn't work it out. And it broke my heart. It really broke my heart to divorce Fraser. So I've now
lost...
You've
got to let him go, mate. You've got to let him go.
Yeah. So I've lost out on my Fallout and Metal Gear Solid, a couple of other things, smaller stuff that he had bought. But I'd stopped playing Fallout and stopped playing Metal Gear, but I know if I go back now and have to buy them again, it'll be half the price anyway of what he originally paid for them. So that's the thing about things that are a year and 2 years down the line, they're cheap to buy again anyway. So I don't know. What do you think, Nicole? Would you trade your games in for 10%?
I also game share, but I'm not a big fan of the whole trading in, but it has actually saved me because of all the backward compatibility.
Yeah. Love it.
I'm like, now I have all these games that I can play again. And I'm finding that, and as you've seen, I've been playing Borderlands and Gears, just a few of the old favorites, Left 4 Dead 2.
Fantastic.
Or Left 4 Dead. One of those you can now play. It's Left 4 Dead 2. And I'm like, I'm ready to play that again. I was like, that to me is amazing because I
play
go
again,
back. Yeah, because I didn't get rid of it, but it's not that I hoard my games because honestly, somebody wants to give me postage, I'll send them stupid Mass Effect. They can just have it. Yeah, I said it. But any of the other games, and see, I'm pointing at my son's room because all the games are stored in his room because he has my old 360 in his room. So I just go back there, go get whatever game it is, pop it in the X1, backward compatible, I'm good to go. And I just, because I didn't sell it. So
I'm the other way around. So.
I'm just...
So what, you complete and sell straight away sort of thing, do you? Or
I never complete, I just get bored and sell.
Bored and sell.
And then dickheads on chat sort of thing. Oh, do you want to play this tonight? And I'm like, oh, I'll go and rebuy it again. The amount of money that I've wasted by rebuying stuff. Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's just once someone gets an urge, you know, we've all got to go and buy again. But,
Well, I've been there. Yeah. I mean, I sold Destiny and I bought Destiny twice and I haven't played it at all the second time I bought it. So, yeah.
Well, it's like GTA 5. Every time I put GTA 5 back in, it's like going back into the world. I love it. You know, you get sucked in by the world straight away. And it's just an amazing game. So, no, I would never, ever trade that in or get rid of it. Because you never know when you can just get out of a night and complete enjoyment of playing it again. So, I don't know. I'm on the fence with you. I think 10% is cheap. I think 10% is a bit of a piss take.
Yeah.
If it was more, then I think people would be more enticed to do it. But, no, I don't. I don't think it's going to take off, and I don't think people will do it.
Well, it could be a nice PR exercise for them as well. You know, this is just a survey. They're not even saying that this is going to happen, but if they come back and they go, well, do you know what? We'd said 10%, but it's going to be 20%. Everybody will go, oh, it's double. So, you know, if it does happen, well, yeah, you know what? There are some games that I will not play again. I will not mind losing them. I could clear out of my backlog. Again, I use Unravel as one thing there. Okay. Right. Nicole.
Yes.
Can you have start with us here? Dave, do you have any kids?
I have a 2-year-old daughter, but I also have a lady friend okay. That has a 5 and 8-year-old daughter. All right. So I know you're saying
this will be good. This might be relevant to you. Mm. So we've touched on this before over time, and Nicole and I were chatting earlier on that there's some changes to the US as far as their what they call their ESRB ratings. So over here it's a heck of a lot simpler. I think, you know, there's an 18 certificate on a game or a 15 certificate on a game or for anybody sort of thing, or 7 years old, or then it's for anybody. So I think there's only four. We used to have four. Where in America, it seems to be there was like teen and mature and stuff like that.
There's children, mm-hmm. which is C, and that's like toddlers and a little bit too, you know, little bitties, little wee ones.
Yeah.
And then there's everybody, obviously everybody. And then there's everybody 10 plus, which is new.
Right.
And then there's teen, which is like 12 on up, I think, even though 12's not a teen, but it's either 14 or 12 on up. And then there's mature, which is 17 and older, and adult.
Goodness, I think those are all.
Yeah. But it used to be just, it was either everybody mature, teen, everybody teen, mature, and adult. That was it. There was four. And then they've added the E10 plus and the C, and they've done that because of all of the interactive games that you can play with now with children mm-hmm. on handheld devices.
Yeah.
So they added these extras to help direct parents on whether or not this is going to ask for your IP address and, you know, ping a location or something, or if it's going to ask for certain personal information, or if they're going to make you log in with an actual account or whatever to help protect the children.
Yeah.
And then some of the other things they've done is actually cleaned up the descriptions a little bit, and they'll give you a list, and there is a list if you go to ERSB.org. They have a whole list of everything. And they've included an app now. So you can go and get an app for your PC, for your handheld, for your phone, tablet, whatever. Plug in the game name, and then it'll tell you what the rating is and then why it's rated that way. It has sexual content. And it even differentiates between physical contact, you know, where like Fable.
Yes.
You get to hear the things versus something like in Fable. Mass Effect. They're like the chick trying to do something. Yep. Yeah. So it's, you know, the PG-er version versus the rated X version.
The polite tattooed lady in the hold. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I think there's a couple of different layers here. I think it's commendable that they're trying to do something. I think if we take a step back, this is not aimed at us. Because, or me anyway, I don't feel that way, because I know the way I analyze a game for the kids and the foster kids that we have in this house is that even though it might say 15 or 18, there may be games, for example, I'll take Gears. If I can go into Gears of War and switch off the bad language and switch off the gore, that game is fine for a 12-year-old to play.
Oh, yeah.
In my opinion.
And I think that's even one of the things it does in there is let you know if you can take some of that stuff off.
Yeah.
Like the cussing. Mm. And because with Gears, you can. You can turn off the foul language. Brilliant. And you can turn off the gore. Yes. That's good. That is the White smartest thing ever. Yeah.
Yeah. So they should be able to do that with some things. I think it must be a minefield for parents that don't even know how to switch on a PlayStation or an Xbox.
Right.
You know, what they do. But
and I think this is actually towards them.
I hear it when I see in a shop like little Jimmy coming into the shop, and when I travel around and there's a game, for some reason or another, I always walk in to see if there's anything in there, a special offer thing. And there's many a day I'm in there and little Jimmy's there with his dad or his mum, and he's going, oh, buy me this, and it's the latest most gruesome game ever that there's no way on this earth this 8-year-old should be having, but they buy it, and that is wrong. That is bad.
Do you not think that's because the little Jimmy is sort of brainwashing? Sort of going, his mum's going, is it all right? And probably she didn't know anything about gaming. You know, maybe not. you know, and then Jimmy's sort of going, no, it's fine, everyone plays it at school, blah,
yeah,
blah,
well,
blah.
There is that peer pressure thing, yeah.
And then so she's like, oh, okay, fair enough. I mean, my girlfriend sort of thing, her 8-year-old, when he goes to his dad's, he was allowed to play GTA one night.
Freak.
Now, GTA can be fun and innocent if you're just sort of walking around.
Yeah.
But all you got to do is press B button and he's smashing some guy around back of the head. You know, so that to me is bad straight away. Therefore, the 8-year-old then goes to school and thinks smashing someone around the back of the head is okay because he's doing it on a video game. So, and GTA is an obvious 18-rated game. So that, it's down to opinion and it's down to the parental control if they're allowed to the kid to play the game or not. I myself, I won't do it because I know a lot about games. I will then research the game before. And the parents, I don't think the parents can simply say, oh, I didn't know, because there's so much information out there about all they've got to do is click on YouTube and put in the actual title, and therefore you've got everything about that game straight away. So it's negligence on the actual parents' side to say, oh, I didn't know about it, oh, sorry. Well, that's just inexcusable. Just due to the fact there's been so much information around you to find out about that game beforehand.
Absolutely right.
That's my opinion, but I think it's just that.
No, you're pretty spot on, because that's exactly how I feel. I've had friends come up and ask me, hey, you know, so-and-so wants this game, what do you think? Because they know I play, and they know I do this. And I'm like, well, it has this, 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 and this in it. If you're okay with that, then sure, go ahead and get them the game. And they're like, oh, I didn't know that. He said that, you know, it didn't have any. I'm like, and that's the other thing I've told him. Go YouTube it. I was like, go look on YouTube. I said, you can go to Twitch. You can find this stuff live. You can hear these people playing. And they're like, oh, I didn't know you could do that. And I'm like, it boggles my mind that people are so in their little bubble.
Yeah,
maybe that's because we're gamers and...
Well, I don't know. If a kid wanted to get a dangerous toy, let's not go guns here, but when I was a kid, the thing that I was contraband was Black Widow.
Catapult.
Armrest. And my father wouldn't let me get one of these, but I got one and I hid it over in the field. And I got caught with it, of course, and he beat me around the head for having this. And it's the same sort of thing where there was damn good reason why he didn't want me to have that, because I put out the neighbor's window with one. And it's the same thing sort of here as well, that he knew about that. So why if that person wouldn't give their person an air rifle just to whiz around with all their friends? And Nicole, I know you're... with guns, but you wouldn't still let your kids run around the street with an air pistol or anything like that there. You wouldn't get that unsupervised. Yeah, Nerf gun. Yeah, so do mine. But
that's allowed only outside, and we have rules. You're not allowed to aim at a person's head, you know, waist or below.
Yeah.
But we'll go out there and watch them. First person we see that gets hit in the head, whoever shot it, they lose their even though it's Nerf, they still lose the gun.
So, you know, anybody now that's sort of 40 years old and around there with kids, that sort of age, there's no real excuse for saying, oh, I don't know nothing about that, because they all, you sitting with their head on their phone on Facebook games, playing other bits and pieces, they know about YouTube. There is no excuse for this to happen now, and it is a form of neglect, in my opinion.
Yeah, so, and that ERSB, I mean, they're doing everything in their power to put that information in your hands. By giving you in your handheld device, and parents are choosing to ignore it. So, I mean,
we should have passed it over the advert. When GTA comes on the TV, it should be a massive big sign like your tornado warning, just saying not for kids.
Yeah.
You know, and then how bold do the parents need it to be? You know, this has sex, this has prostitutes, this has you can take them in the back of a car and hump them around a tree. You know, it should be all that kind of thing where they shouldn't let them do it. And then if they let them do it, more fool them. You know, they're not my kids.
That. Okay, good stuff. I think it was a good conversation about that. And you know what? If you have an opinion on kids and gaming, or if we're really wrong, or there's something else, please you know, send an email to our email address. It'd be absolutely wonderful, which is freaking hell, what is our email address? Nobody uses email anymore. You can send it to our Twitter account. So, you know, you can send an email to podcast@g4te.com or tweet us at @OC_podcast. If you have any opinions about the things that we've been talking about today, we would love to hear back from you. Okay, so we're going to go on to our trivia section now. And this is sponsored by Jason Johnson, Teflon himself. So if you have a look at the show notes, Dave, Rich and Nicole, they're just underneath where it says trivia here, there is Nick, Rich and Dave. Now, the way this is going to work, I will answer you, ask you a question, and you will type in A, B, or C, or 1, 2, or 3 when I say. So it's nice and fair, and everybody gives me the answer at the exact same time. So we have two questions. Are you okay? You got the notes there, Dave? Are you all right? Are you able to do this? You're on your.
I'm looking at Paul, mate.
Okay.
Come on, let's go.
All right. So there's running scores. I believe Nicole is way out in the lead with the podcast team at the moment. Everybody has
one lucky girl.
You are indeed. Yeah. You guessed lucky.
I do.
So we've got two questions tonight. And the first question is, and you're going to love it, Nicole. How many playable demos have been released for Final Fantasy 15?
Yeah,
for Frank's sake, right? I'm glad I'm not answering these. How many playable demos have there been released for Final Fantasy 15? Is it A, 2, B, 4, C, 1, or D, 3? So that's 2, 4, 1, or 3. Can I have your answers now?
Where am I?
Typing.
It won't let me type.
Can I just say my answers? Because how do I actually do it?
All right. What's your answer? A, B, C, or D?
There's mine.
I can't remember what they were.
Two.
You had four, Rich. Why did you change it?
Okay.
Yeah, I'll go four again. Why not?
Four. Okay, two. Well, the answer is A, 2. Dave, you're the man. That is absolutely right. There were two playable demos for Final Fantasy 15. Where do you get this from, Jason? Question two. What country does the game Until Dawn take place in? Is it the United States of America, Norway, United Kingdom, or Canada? What country does the game Until Dawn take place in? The US of A, Norway, United Kingdom or Canada?
Don't care.
A, B, C, or D, please.
I've WhatsApp
you. Oh, my God. I don't remember what they were.
I WhatsApp you.
USA, Norway, United Kingdom, or Canada? Are we in? Nick, are you on?
Mine's up there.
A, Rich is on D, and Dave is on D. And D is absolutely correct. And no. That is Canada. Is
get
where
in.
Until Dawn was. Very good. And Dave has 100% record on the trivia.
No, let's not get too carried away now, though.
He's overtaken some people. And that's a point for Rich and a point for Nicole to stretch.
Yeah, I'm not even listening to you. I was banning somebody.
Oh, good. Go for it.
Banning somebody.
All right. That was good. Thanks very much, Jason Johnson. Thank you, your trivia master and king. All right, Rich, would you have a little blast through those new releases? And I've marked, I'm going to disappear for 2 minutes. So, but I've starred these up. Stick Bold, I just want to talk about it. Stick Bold's coming out. I played this at EGX last year, and it's like dodgeball like you've never seen before. It's coming out for everything over the next month, and it's absolutely brilliant. Highly recommend.
Okay.
Dave, you'll maybe want to talk about Dirt Rally if you know anything a wee bit about it. And
fire off.
Okay.
That's what I
will. Right, so.
Back a sec.
So, okay, now that he's gone, what a prick. What a prick. I'm only messing. I'm really messing. New releases 2016 Link. I don't think I was supposed to read that bit. This week we have Organic Panic coming onto the Xbox One. Stickbold, a dodgeball adventure for PC. I believe Robin was going to talk about that when he comes back. We have Green Game, Time Swapper, also coming to PC. A lot of shit comes to PC, doesn't it? It's like saturated.
Mm.
1979, Revolution, Black Friday comes to PC und Mac. That's German,
Did
by the way.
Did you really say Revolution?
Revolution. Assassin's Creed Chronicles Revolution. Trilogy Pack comes to the Vita for anyone who's still got one. I think ours is
just shiny.
I think ours is propping up the fridge. I think Dead Star is coming to PS4 and PC April 5th. Dirt Rally now.
Oh, I thought this is dirty.
Dirt Rally used to be a good game when it was called Colin McRae.
Yep. I could be corrected. I'm sure Henwood might, if he's still in the chat, he might actually correct me. But this could be the game that's got where they like verse each other, where there's two Rykars going around at the same time on the track.
Oh, wow.
Instead of just the typical time trial thing as you go.
Yeah.
So, yeah, could be great. Who knows if the turning's any good in it. Most of rally games are a bit shocking when it comes to turning.
Yeah.
Something kind of like slot cars in the dirt. Y'all have slot car racing. Remember that
when
you were a kid?
Yeah, we have Destruction Derby. Now, that's a game. We should bring that game back.
Yeah.
Mm.
Dave, why is your nickname Brownfinger?
Oh, yeah, because Parsnip's driving us nuts.
Oh, is he? Oh, yes. Well, no, there's no reason for that. Anal's all right. I don't know. I mean,
is it because really. You stuck your thumb up a dog's ass again?
No.
Because I have. Cat. I did that.
Yeah.
Thanks, Rich.
It's fine.
Back to this. Oh, and by the way,
moving on.
Says Dirt Rally is boss.
Dirt Rally is boss.
I remember. Yeah, I think
I thought it would chip in.
I think Sega Rally was the rally game to go to back in the day. And then I think like Colin McRae came
VR
out.
But
I think V-Rally was before Colin McRae, if I remember rightly. So we had like V-Rally and then like Gran Turismo 2 had a decent rally mode. But then Colin McRae came out and it was just the dog's bollocks. I had my Mitsubishi Lancer all the way and my Subaru Impreza. Right, next, Enter the Gungeon on PS4 and PC April 5th. Europa Universalis 4, Mare Nostrum. What's with all these foreign names? Mare Nostrum. Is it just the way I'm saying it? Job Simulator coming to PC. So if you're at home and you don't...
Can I chip in on this, by the way?
Yeah, I was just going to say, if you don't have a job, you might as well just, like, pretend.
Can I get a job that's only 16 hours? I've got benefits.
Yeah, I believe they are bringing out benefits to people who have Job Simulator.
Job Simulator is a bit like Surgeon Simulator, and it's VR as well, and it really is menial tasks. It's really awful. I mean, you have to cook a short order cook, and you do faxing and stuff like that. There, just okay.
Do you reckon you get recorded conversation if you log in too late for a day?
Probably.
Yeah, you get sacked.
Robin, you got yourself a jacket or sweater, whatever, and didn't get me one. I'm freezing.
I'm sorry. Here, have this.
It's weird that I've just put my hoodie on as well at the same time.
Yeah, it's cold.
It runs
all the way across the room. I'm not getting up.
Mm. Okay.
Lovely Planet is coming to PS4 and Wii U. Quantum Break.
Yes!
Finally comes out April 5th.
Oh, God, guys, don't wee yourselves.
Oh, yeah, I'm
sort of excited about that game.
It looks good.
No, it does look good. Mm. The initial reviews are coming in now, and it's getting a pretty good review from lots of folk, apart from Giant Bomb, who've given it like 40 on Metacritic, where everybody else is up in sort of 70s and 80s.
Yeah, 7 or 8.
The TV series bit of it actually really does look quite good. It's got some really good actors in it.
Yeah.
There's the big dark gentleman from Continuum, the wee guy that was the musician out of Lost. There's a whole pile of really good quality actors in there.
Yeah, definitely.
And it mightn't just be pants, complete pants. It might be a decent Continuum quality sort of thing of sort of sci-fi.
Hmm.
And the game itself, I hear they give you loads of powers at the very beginning of it, and toward they maybe give you too much all at once, and maybe it gets a wee bit samey later on down the line. But I'm excited. I have it pre-ordered. Can't wait.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
It's going to be good. We've got Skullgirls second encore. So if you weren't satisfied with their first encore, gamers have been hounding people for this. They're coming back for a second encore, folks, on the Vita, April 5th. Stickbold, a dodgeball adventure, is on there twice because it's coming out on PC on the 1st because it's an April Fool joke, and then it's coming on the PS4 April 5th. I believe you wanted to talk about this, Robin.
It's friggin' awesome. It's awesome. It's like a small arena, 4-player or 6-player, and you chuck stuff at each other, brushes and slime balls, and say you're maybe at a kiddies park and there's a roundabout around it, so you have to dodge a car that's coming around as well. And it's just so much fun. I had loads and loads of fun with it. Now, when I met
Excuse me, Robin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Can I ask you for a wee, please?
Yes.
Yes, I told him, I'm like, master. You can go. And you can just sit in there.
And Dave has gone for a wee. Oh, God bless him. He's doing well. And the Xbox Skype zooms out onto his bed once again. look, Stickbold looks like lots of fun. I spoke to the developers. They weren't going to have an online co-op mode. It was just going to be local. And I hope they have included a online multiplayer. Because if it is, it'll be so much fun. Great little game. Great. Anyway, yep.
Well, keep your eye out for that, kids.
Yep.
Kill to Collect is coming on PC. We're getting a lot of shit. I've said it before. We're getting so much shit.
Yeah, that's a Zelda sort of thing.
It's
weird. Like top down. Yeah, I've looked at all of these. It might be shooting game sort of thing.
Right. I don't know.
Zelda shooting.
Yeah.
Zelda-ish. Letter Quest, Grimm's Journey, Xbox One.
I think the title of this. Have you ever wondered what it'd be like to have a Scrabble game that was like an RPG? Well, Letter Quest is it.
Are they just run out of ideas now? Are they just going through the cupboards and going like, what two things can we find?
Fucking you kill Scrabble. The monsters by spelling words.
Oh, jeez.
I love his socks.
And they class? Yeah, that's one sock and the other sock's different. It's absolutely class. Yeah.
There you go. Whatever works, man.
That was absolutely heavenly.
That wasn't it good?
Nice.
Oh, my God.
Nice.
That was like Stella and your Coke and the Pringles, you know?
It was like another world, honestly.
See, I thought his eyeballs were floating earlier.
Yes.
All right.
Those are the eyeballs.
And that's about them.
Yeah, well, Stickbowl's coming out on the Xbox on April 8th. All three platforms that matter.
Good. We have some monthly freebies.
Yay! So for Games with Gold, that would be on the Xbox, people. The Wolf Among Us arrived yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant.
Ends on the 30th of April. Sunset Overdrive. I wanted to try that.
Yeah, it's really good after a while. Yeah, it takes a bit of getting to love it.
We got to wait till the 16th to try it. So yep. April 16th and then ends May 15th. So you can download that if you have gold. For the Xbox 360, it'll be Dead Space. Now, I don't want that one. I watched some of that. That scared the shit out of me.
Well, I played Dead Space 2 and it scared the shit out of me and I loved it. But I've never played Dead Space and I am going to go back and play this. So
I'm going to play it anyway. Mm. There's a lot of jump scares in it.
Mm.
And I spend way too much time alone to really play this game myself in the dark.
Yeah. Imagine that with a VR headset on.
Yeah. I'm a little nervous about playing it, but we can get it for free April 1st through the 15th. So download it now. And then Saints Row 4, 16th through the 30th.
Arguably the best. You've fallen. Best Saints Row game that ever made. I think Saints Row 4, absolutely brilliant.
I'll let you say. Yeah, I have one of them,
Three and four. Was it three?
Probably three.
Three was the first modern one, wasn't it? And four. Yeah, three and four are the best. Yeah, but that's four. Brilliant. That's a really good lineup for Microsoft. That's really good.
I was actually surprised that they're giving away decent games. Now, I didn't say brilliant games, but decent.
No, well, they're brilliant. Wolf Among Us is a fantastic game. And Sunset Overdrive is brilliant, too. Dead Space. So, yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, so for PS Plus, a virus named Tom. Is that the virus? Is that really a thing?
I didn't. No,
that's not a Robin thing?
No, it's not. No.
Okay.
A virus named Mark.
Right, it should be. Poor Mark. Yeah, okay, for the PS Vita. And they do theirs. They run theirs the entire month from the first to the end of the month. So all of these will be from April 1st through the end of the month. Dead Star for PS4.
And that looks good. That does look good. That's it is like a modern space invasion. No. Asteroids with all of the...
I loved Asteroids.
Lovely particle effects and stuff like that there. And there's up to 10 player co-op. Loads of planets and blowing things up.
It makes me looks good. I also drink it all.
Yeah, that looks good.
All right. I Am Alive for the PS3. Savage Moon. Somebody was talking about this for PS3. Oh. And Shoot See Me, PS Vita, and Zombie for PS4.
And I believe that's the Wii U port, I believe, which was called, what was it, U Zombie or something, was that? Maybe I'm completely wrong, but I think that's what that is. Okay,
forever.
Good, everybody, it's good for free. I wonder if you can trade those in for 10%. All right, so this wee section here is going to take a minute or two longer than normal because there's some big stuff happening this week. And hopefully, Dave, you can give me a hand here. Forza 6, the IndyCar Championship is coming to a close. Last Wednesday, we had a great night's racing at Road America, and the man himself, Smurf, was the winner. It was closely fought with Henwood in second and Womble in third for the second time in 2 weeks. So it's all very, very close. We're going into the final deciding round this Wednesday night, and it's an oval at Daytona, and it's at night time, which is a brilliant atmosphere. I'll quickly rattle through the standings and give me a thought. There are four teams. The GoDaddy team is in the lead with Red Bull in second, Team Ganassi and DHL always coming last there, and they're well behind it. I think GoDaddy have the team. I think they've got that one now. But in individual scores, it's very, very close between Chris Henwood and Dave here at Smurf. It's all going to come down to the last race between these two guys, I believe.
Well,
Tequila is in third. Dan Wudan is in fourth and fifth, all very, very close together. And myself in sixth, I'm pretty out of it there. But in the midfield with myself and Parsnip, Womble, Taffman, Ginger, Blue Brew, Fish, Target and Jaggy, we've all had a great time with this. Now, the thing about the ovals is it can be very, very good for Ordi with his wheel and Parsnip with their wheels. And wheel is very important for oval racing because you can be consistent with your angle around the corner. And this is where Parsnip shines. So that Parsnip actually could be a big, and Ordi could be big deciding factors in this championship. It has been brilliant, Dave. It's been really good fun.
It's been very good. I always like the leagues that obviously Henwood puts together for the guys and everything like that. I mean, the great thing about this one is the fact that I don't think I've got a chance of winning it. Henwood should take it. I'm just hoping someone crashes him out and therefore I might be able to get around him. But Parsnip, if Parsnip doesn't...
That's awful. You should pay someone to do that.
Well, I've already put a 10 down for Fish, but hopefully Parsnip, I'm hoping, wins this race due to the fact that he's very, very strong with his wheel and on ovals. I mean, the last oval race we had, Henwood, I think, won it, but Parsnip was like about a second behind or something
laps,
like that.
He would have had him.
Yeah, so there's no reason why Parsnip can't do it. It's just whether he can keep it together and actually keep the concentration. It helps that he only has to go left, you know, there's no right turns, so hopefully it'll be all right with that. Level. Yeah, I mean, you know, it should be easy. Now, going forward, obviously we have the next round, the WEC, is on Monday the 11th, and that's at Silverstone in the wet. That's going to be all a bit tricky.
And to explain, the WEC are the big, massive
the big
pro
daddies.
Type cars that you'd see in Le Mans. So very, very powerful and a very, very slippery course.
The big daddy ones. And then coming up, we have the 2016 BTCC Championship, which is always the big daddy one. It's the major one that we do, and it's like the massive 24-round season that we have. Testing's doing that right now. You can pick a track. I think it's the back mono. I could be wrong. I think it's the back mono that you go around and put a time down for that one. I'm sure the track will be in the chat now.
Okay, so I didn't know that. So I've picked my car. Chris Henwood is fantastic at tuning these things, and he's done a lot of the designs, and he's replicated. I actually looked today. I actually looked up my Honda Civic, and it's almost identical to the real life car. And he's went through all of the cars in this year's championship for those teams and done the designs. I mean, he really should. And I don't know if he does or not. Send these off to these teams because, you know, they're works of art. The stuff that in the time that he puts into this,
he's amazing. To be fair, I must admit. I mean, I do give him a lot of stick.
He deserves it.
You know, he's a really nice guy, and the actual paints that he does. I mean, he doesn't so fast as well. You know, I mean, I could try and do something, and I'd turn out like a Van Gogh picture or something. But he just like picks it brilliantly.
Yeah,
Van Gogh is brilliant. What do you mean?
in comparison to actually, you know, doing the painting, like sort of like point for point, he's very abstract, isn't he?
Yeah.
At the same time, so.
Oh, and considering that, you know, when you design it, Nicole, I mean, when you're already. Forza, when you design a logo, so you've got a team logo or Pirelli tires or the way that's done.
I love Pirellis. Go ahead.
It's sort of all done in vinyl. Like, you know, why you print with vinyl? So everything is cut. And it's all layered, so everything has to be created by hand. It's awkward. It's not that intuitive. And what he manages to get this to do is just brilliant. Really, really good.
Cool.
I've actually asked him many times to actually do like lessons, you know, like a 1 to 10 tutorial of how to actually create them.
YouTube it.
And yeah, and how to do the shapes and the circles and put them all together. It's amazing. I mean, I just stick a flame down the side and think it's excellent. But anyway, after that. By the way, BTCC cars, we've actually tested them all now, and all within. Well, I can get every single one within 2/10 of each other.
Yeah, it's gonna be good racing. It's brilliant. We had good fun testing the other night.
So it's very, very good. And that's pretty much about that. To be fair, I just hope I win the Indies. Stuff enough.
So look, you know, it's a great bunch of people that are racing here. We have great fun, great crack. It's and again, there's racing for all levels. So there's people coming up through the ranks, and like myself now, it's been a couple of years, or I'm in sort of midfield, and I can snag the odd really good, really good finish. So look, if you want to get involved, please contact on Twitter at the Henwood or at Parsnip Nose 3000, and we'll give you all the information. You can come along. You'll be more than welcome to join in.
Yeah, see, I can race real cars. Those little fake cars on a screen really screw me up, which is why I like Pirellis, by the way.
Well, I'm sure you would be epic if you got into it. Speaking of which, Rich.
Yes, we are epic. It's that time again, folks, for me to cough.
I think it's almost done, actually. We are epic. We might be speaking in a turn here.
But basically, if you've got 30 seconds of footage of you doing something extra fucking cool in games, send it to us and we'll send you a life-changing 20 gaming books. Post your clip to our Facebook page, which is epic.g4te.com. That's epic.blah-blah-blah-blah-blah. Or you can send your link to Bongo himself, bongo@g4te.com, and he'll look at it, he'll sort it out. You can win $20, which will buy you some pretty cool games. For $20, you can get some of the best games in the last 10 years. So, go for it. You can. Limbo. Enough said.
Enough said.
I enjoy spending my 20 bucks that I got for.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. You won. Yeah. You were a winner. You were one of the tributes that won. Fantastic.
Mm. See, I've never won it because, like, real epic people don't win awards. Which is I'm only messing. Jokes.
Okay.
Can you get the missus to smack you for us, please, Rich?
She can't hear me. She's working. She's busy working away. Oh, she can hear me. Shh.
So we're about done. So that quarter is finished. There will be a winner announced next week, and we'll decide whether we're going to run this. So if you want to get your video in, get it in really quickly, and it'll get into this judging. So we'll decide. Well, then the winner will be announced next week, and we'll decide whether it'll go on a wee bit more with this or not. Nick, we have some victories achieved. I know you love this.
I'm stuck at explaining this, though. Victories achieved. It's our little Twitter contest. So you have to take a selfie of you finishing a game. Make sure you're following at g4te.com, spell out the dot, on Twitter. Post that selfie of you in the end credits, and we will repost it for whatever reason. I notice it's always on my feed like twice. Mm. And our contest is currently running April 1st through June 30th. You enter to win either $20 or £15 gift card for, I have to scroll, sorry, PlayStation, Xbox, or Steam. Don't you like that? I scrolled with my head.
Yeah, cool. It's like when you jump in Mario and you jump with the controller.
But that's, oh my God, I do that with like see games because you can't turn corners like that.
Yeah, that is.
It doesn't work.
I know.
It does in the Wii, but not for real. So let's see. Who do we have for Victor? Is there a real victories achieved winner already?
Mm-hmm. The quarter's over.
It is over.
Yeah. So we're starting a new one now. So the winner. Who's a winner? Who's a winner?
Ooh. The winner is Caliburn M for South Park, The Stick of Truth, on February 2nd. Congratulations.
Congratulations. So, and I have just sent him his tweet to tell him right now.
Now, you guys in America do your dates backwards, don't you? So yeah, so is it works. Is it February the 2nd or is it the 2nd of February? Which is that, it?
Okay, look. Because, see, I grew up in where I always had to write out differently. And so I get really confused. If you're going to write it like that, February 2nd.
It was just a joke because it says like 0202. Backwards, it's 0202.
Either way.
Just me being a dick.
See, I always write the month and then.
No, but 0202 is wrong. It has to be 0202.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It can't be 0202 if it's 0202.
You guys suck.
Yes. Not again.
Okay, so.
I'm just saying.
Oh, you're fine. Enjoy your crisp.
I like you too.
You're fine. So can I read this?
Yeah, on you go. Yeah.
Thanks. We're done with the date.
Mm-hmm.
So Caliburn M for XCOM 2, Companion Cube for John Woo's Stranglehold. Sorry. Amorous 89 for The Division Story. Mr. Miyagi, 1984, for King's Quest 4.
It's a quality game attack, by the way, that.
Which one?
Good to know. Duly noted. Bongo the Sane. Yep, he's pushing up flowers in Minecraft Story Mode Season 1.
Flowers.
Flowers.
Has to happen once every show.
Mr. Miyagi, 1984, again, for Space Quest 2, VGA. John Mouse. Entwine. He gets a half point for that. Mm-hmm. Is it? I don't know what it is. And then Pebbles. Carpe Diem. I like that very half point, 6 minutes to complete.
Yes. And that very good. Well done, everybody. And that moves us on to sort of my completion chart. So the idea behind this is everybody that enters the victory achieved, you get put into the draw. And just like Caliburn, once a quarter, we draw it randomly and you win some money. The completion chart is something a wee bit extra. So if you finish a full game, you get 1 point. Or if you finish a short game, like an indie or a long DLC or an iOS game, you get half a point. And if you want to work out how I decide on that, you go to howlongtobeat.com, and that'll tell you how long it takes to complete the main game. I decide.
He decides. Basically,
I do.
Yeah, it's like he's like an emperor. He's like the emperor.
So for every full point that goes in, I will donate 1 point to extralife.org, which is our children's charity that we would support here. And so far this year, there's 105 points, and that means there's $105 for the kiddies. The winner at the end of the year will also get an Overseas Connection t-shirt and a custom mug just for them. And 36 people have scored so far. It's changing around. Amras is way out in the lead with 17 points. Caliburn has moved into second with 8.5 points. Companion Cube is there at 8. And Mr. Miyagi has also moved up with 7. Sarah's sitting there at 6 and I'm at 5. And there's 36 people. We'll post those up. So that's great stuff. So thank you very much for supporting that. And we'll continue to keep on doing that all year. Mm. Rich, would you like to start to take us home, please?
Yeah, sure.
Be gentle.
Okay. If you want to be part of this podcast every week, because we do this live for like no reason other than to make people happy, and also to see each other because we miss each other, you can go to live.g4te.com or twitch.tv/g4te. We're on here every week, 11 p.m. UK time. The other times don't matter. You can email the show. We will read your email out. We don't get a lot of emails, really, mostly because we don't read them. But we will read them if you email podcast@g4te.com. You can tweet the podcast at our other name, which is @OC_podcast, because @OC podcast was taken. You can go to FB. I make myself laugh. FB.g4te.com. That's our Facebook group. We are always on there. That's probably where our busiest place, Facebook. Facebook and the pub. It's like our two busiest places. You can give us some money as well. Donate.g4te.com, because we use that money to fund our Victories Achieved shit so people can buy Limbo. That's what it's for. We pay ourselves anyway, but that's what it's for. iTunes and Stitcher, no one uses them anymore. Dead technology. But if you want to leave us a review on there, you can. Just go there, leave us a review. We'll read it out. Even if it's one star, and now we've got to pass it round like a speed round.
Speed round.
Go.
Okay.
Go.
Nicole,
go.
Would you like to shout anybody out today?
Yes. Y'all, this was really fun. And because I was instructed to wish Chapstick a happy birthday, even though it was 2 days late, because Greg can't do time either.
No. Or sums.
Time or money or sums.
No, for Greg. So happy birthday, 2 days late to Chapstick.
Greg said you had to sing it.
I was not. No, I'm not singing it.
No. That's he said that.
The only person, Henwood was the only person that got that birthday song. We're good. So, look, Soul Brothers said, all right. So, yeah, we're good. You can find me on Twitter, OC_Amaryllis, Amaranth on the Xbox, and Amaryllis on the PS4 and Steam. So feel free to send me a friend request, and if you're not an ass, we'll play games. Just kidding.
That's a big, big, big reach there. So it is. There's lots of those asses about. Yeah.
I'm just because it has to do with the conversation we had.
Okay.
Let you have it. You have it, Robin. I know you got to close us out, but still.
Yeah. Okay. Look. Also, happy birthday to Chapstick. Henwood had a birthday, and Fraser. They all leveled up this week.
And, I did.
Yeah, and also to one of the reasons why Greg isn't here, his young man is 7, and he's at a 7th birthday party today. Woo! Fantastic. I would also nice shout out to Sue and Tony. If you're listening, you know, Tony's came out of a nasty operation there in hospital, so I hope you're doing well soon. Rich?
I want to give a shout out, right? I want to give a shout out to Jill for coming on the podcast before.
That was cool.
Thanks, Jill.
Cheers. Thanks, Jill.
She's doing a PhD. which I only learned the other day, is, you know, like nominals, like doctor is DR. That's obviously short for doctor. Or MD is like medical doctor. PhD stands for Doctor of Philosophy. That's what it stands for. But you can get a PhD in anything. So that's weird, that. I think that's really weird. So if you got a PhD in like law, you're a Doctor of Philosophy in law. I just think that's really strange. So shout out to Jill. Shout out to Nintendo because they released Miitomo in the Europes, which I've not played. I've installed it, and so yeah, shout out to that. And I did want to shout out someone else. I can't remember who it was. Maybe you, Dave.
Me, because I'm awesome.
Yeah, Nicole's awesome. Maybe Dave for coming on. I think this is the first time we've ever spoken the words in real life. In any life,
it
maybe.
It feels like... It feels amazing to know you.
Well, you've been listening to me for a million years. Coming in your ear.
And you're not the only one to do that.
No. Remember that? I said sex for your ears.
You said it. Shout out to Robin as well for being a great host tonight. So who's next? Dave? Do you want to go next?
It's me.
Dave, the best for last.
Well, I suppose I've got to give a shout out to for Bongo for letting me come on the podcast. Thank you very much. And for you guys for putting up with me for so long and trying to see up my shorts for the last 2 hours. And also the case of, well, it was the start of it, like a joke for me to come on, by the way. It was like, hashtag Smurf podcast. And it actually came true, so thank you. Just shows what perseverance and being a cocky little bastard can get you.
Smurf for podcast, hashtag.
Now it's Smurf goes live, by the way. No, it should be Smurf gone live. So, yeah, well, thanks to, shout out to my track family. They're always there for me, and if you get through in life, just in general, really. I've got a lot of things going on right now, in personal life and everything sort of thing, and they're always there to bend my ear and to chat to stuff. So that's very nice of them to be there for them tearing up. So anyway, that's it from me. So thank you very much for having me,
Dave. Thank you very very much for coming on. It's been lovely having you on, and you done really well. It was really great, man. Thanks to the guys for making this nice and easy tonight, and. Thank you very much, all. Look, would you like to do a final shout-out for the Shatters there, Nicole?
Yes. We actually, Soul Brother came in right at the end. Yes. Because I told you I have to say it like Soul Train. But anyway, so Ropes came in. So
That's my roommate, by the way. That's my housemate.
Yeah, Dave came in, which was really nice. So we've had a lot of good people in here, and we wouldn't be able to do this without the fun interaction with our Shatters. So, pretty much everybody is Gamer Girl, Parsnip, RCGC, Ro Kahuna, Rope, Soul Brother, The Henwood, Jason was in, which would be Teflon, sorry, because we call them all their real names. We're not counting Parsnip at all.
No, definitely.
No one ever does. No.
Not after that pick.
No. Yeah, have you seen that?
Yeah.
Nope.
I'm nowhere that big. Okay,
and Off Target was in. So we had a fair amount of people in here today. Martin, one. Yeah, so.
Okay,
thank
so.
Thank you to all of them.
Thanks very much, guys. I hope you have a wonderful and safe gaming week. Rich, it's good night from him.
Yep. Good night from me.
Yep.
See you all. Bye all.
See you later. Ta-da.
Bye-bye.
Music's playing. Music's gonna play. It's playing now.
That's how I dance. That is literally how I dance.
Robin looks like he's humping the desk.
Oh, that's his sex face. Oh, no. Oh, he's done.
Are we clear? Let's dance it. Oh. tell me and I'll tell them. All right.